Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God and his Father, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. With such a glorious dedication in the book of Revelation, why does it continue then with all that symbolism, scary imagery? Beasts coming up out of the sea with seven heads and ten horns. Horses charging at us that not only bite with their teeth, but have tails that sting like scorpions. Vials pouring out gases that are oozing over the face of the world. Green gases seeping under the doors, through the windows, towards us. Men fallen like flies. Hearts failing as that gas oozes towards you. Why such scary symbolism? Because it is the divinely adequate means to impress our hearts that you and I are what's at stake in a battle against monstrous forces. Even if we don't understand all the details in Revelation, the pictures impress our hearts that we are standing on the brink of the depths of Satan, surrounded by enemies that we cannot successfully oppose on our own. And yet, this dedication is a promise. It's a promise of Jesus' help. It's a promise that every one of these terrors in the world is under his control, because it's dedicated to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's his promise then, that he's controlling every one of these terrors for our good, that he wants to give you the help to overcome them and win the victory. That is a promise then that ought to prompt our prayer. Our prayer to him for his help. Because if we're going to rely on ourselves to overcome these foes, our own willpower, our earthly resources, or the recognition by other people, very quickly, we're going to be bent by frustration, twisted by pride, or broken by discouragement. It's only Jesus that can indeed sustain us through these battles. Remember the beautiful passage in Isaiah put it this way? Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jesus' love sustained him through the crucible of his cross to die for your sins and mine. And his love can daily sustain you in that walk with him. Yes, even through these terrors of life on this earth. For his promise is the assurance that he has already won the victory to wash you clean from your sins, to bring you into everlasting life with him. That promise, then, is as great as the prayer that it prompts is simple. Come, Lord Jesus, wash me clean through my sins. Come, Lord Jesus. Rule in my heart, that I may live to your glory and finally overcome and obtain the victory. The dedication of Revelation in our text is the first promise. But the next verse after our text, which happens to be the motto of this book, "He is coming quickly," is also a promise. Notice, this promise shows us that the confrontation between the kingdoms of man and the kingdom of God is inevitable. In fact, the Apostle John, at the very time that he's writing Revelation, was, remember, in exile on the island of Patmos, enduring such persecution. Though the world often seems to have the upper hand, Jesus' promise demonstrates that all of the kingdoms of man, from the greatest empire to that little kingdom that our flesh would try to build in our own backyard, all of them are finally empty pipe dreams. When the world seems to have the upper hand, when our flesh is pulling us under the influence of the world, filling our hopes with our own earthly dreams rather than the kingdom of God, then, as with the Apostle John immediately after our text, Jesus may have to call to you and me from behind us to turn us around, to turn our focus back to Him and to the one hope that makes us His church. The one hope that's real. The hope in His promise. "I am coming quickly." Because it's hope in that promise that alone makes us His church. Trusting in His promise for everlasting life. It's hope in that promise that leads us then not to pray as the last resort, but to pray as the first resort. Because it is certainly good that we trust in prayer, but it is infinitely more important that we pray in trust. And so this promise also, "He is coming quickly," is as great as the prayer that it prompts is simple. "Come, Lord Jesus. Wash me clean. Come, Lord Jesus. Rule in my heart, that I may live to your glory and finally overcome and obtain the victory." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 652. 652, stanzas 1 and 2.